Today's class will be given by His Grace Kalasudha Mataji on the topic Nectarian Mellows of Chauragraganya Ashtakam. Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you so much Mataji for giving your valuable association and time. You are there Mataji, you can take over the class. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much Bhargavi Mataji for very beautifully welcoming everyone and for your wonderful japa. Thank you so much. And thank you so much, dear Shama Gauri Mataji, for this opportunity. Thank you. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskrityam naram chaiva narottamam devim saraswatim vyasam tato jaya mudirayet nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavat sevaya bhagavati hi uttama shloke Bhaktir Bhakti Naishtaki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha Nama Pankaja Nabhaya Nama Pankajamaline Nama Pankajanatya Namaste Pankajare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So we'll continue with Sri Chauragraganya Purushashtakam. We'll continue with text 2. Radhikaya Hridayasya Chauram Navam Budasha Malakanti Chauram Padashritanam Chasamasta Chauram Chauragraganyam Purusham Namami. Translation. I offer my respectful obeisances to the foremost of thieves who steals Srimati Radhika's heart, who steals the dark luster of a fresh rain cloud, and who steals all the sins and sufferings of those who take shelter of his lotus feet. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shlakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Radhanath Swaminiti Namine Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapataka Swaminiti Namine Nama Acharya Padaya Nitai Kripa Pradayane Varakatha Dhamadaya Nagara Gramatarine Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasati Gaurav Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukam Karoti Vachalam, Pangur Langayate Girim, Yat Kripata Mahamvande, Sri Gurum Dinatarinam, Paramananda Madhavam, Sri Chaitanya Ishwaram. Hare Krishna. So today we are discussing the second nectarian verse from Sri Chauragraganya Purushashtakam, which is also known as just Purushashtakam, which is also known as Chorashtakam. So it has three different names, but it is the same Chorashtakam. Very simply, it is known as Chorashtakam, or you can call it even Purushashtakam, or actually the name of the bhajan is Chauragraganya Purushashtakam. So any of these three names are perfectly fine, and it means the same bhajan. Actually, we were asked this question many times, that what is Purushashtakam and why are we doing Chorashtakam? So it's actually the same bhajan that is written by Srila Bilva Mangala Thakura. So last week we discussed the glories of Srila Bilva Mangala Thakur, that how beautifully he composed and compiled these eight verses in glorification of Krishna. And these first two verses, the last line of the first two verses are the same. Chauragraganyam Purusham Namami, which means I offer my respectful obeisances to the foremost of all the thieves. Chaura Agraganya. Agraganya means the first, the topmost. And Purusham Namami, he is the topmost of all thieves. But this Purusha, this personality, I offer my respectful obeisances to. So here in this particular verse, Srila Bilva Mangala Thakura, he is very beautifully describing that Krishna firstly steals whose heart? He's saying he steals the heart of his topmost devotee, Srimati Radharani. So we all know how Srimati Radharani is extremely mesmerized by Krishna. She has come from the left, she has made her appearance from the left anga of Krishna. Actually, it is explained that when Krishna is extremely happy, when we take that happiness out of Krishna, the happiness manifests in the form of Mahabhava Swarupini, Srimati Radha Thakurani. So Srimati Radharani is none other than the happiness of the happiness that is manifested from Krishna himself. It takes the form of Srimati Radharani. So from his left side, she manifests. And so Srimati Radharani has so many unlimited pastimes, which we have discussed over and over again, But again, these pastimes, the more we discuss it, the more nectarian they become. The more we are actually able to relish each and every time we hear these beautiful pastimes again and again. So I like to repeat one of my most favorite pastime. I'll repeat it for my own purification. Please forgive me if I'm repeating it, but this is one of my most favorite ones, so I'm partial to repeat this particular pastime. But this shows the level at which Mahabhav Swarupini Srimati Radharani is at and why she is called the Mahabhav Swarupini Srimati Radharani, that why she is addressed as the topmost devotee of Krishna, that no one can actually love Krishna as much as Srimati Radharani. So all love, all compassion, all mercy culminates in Srimati Radharani and flows from Srimati Radharani. So that is her position. So establish this position, there's a very beautiful pastime. One time, and this pastime was explained to us by Srila Radharaman Maharaj, and Maharaj explained this pastime in a very beautiful place in near Prem Sarovar, when we were in the Brajamandal Parikrama walking from Barshana, we were walking into Nandagaon. So Prem Sarovar is the first stop that comes. And Maharaj was explaining this pastime of Prema Vaichitti, Prema Vaichitti, Maharaj explained, is the topmost level of Prema. And to explain this Prema Vaichitti, Maharaj explained a very confidential pastime of Shri Radha and Krishna. Maharaj explained that how one time Srimati Radharani was, decorated by her sakhis, and we all know how each of the sakhis, they actually decorate every limb of Srimati Radharani's transcendental body. So, Sri Sudevi Gopi, if you see Radha Madhava Ashtasakhi of Mayapur, she is the gopi who stands to the farthest, to the farthest of Srimati Radharani's side. She is Sudevi. She is the one standing after Vishakha on Radharani's side, the gopis. She is the last one in the row, standing next to her twin sister, Rangadevi. But Sudevi Sakhi, although she's standing all the way at the back from Srimati Radharani, she actually renders the most confidential services to Srimati Radharani. It is explained that she is the one who comes up with different decorations of hair for Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani has very, very beautiful, soft-like hair, and her hair, when it is flowing, they look like black clouds are strung over the moon, because Srimati Radharani's face is like the moon, and her long hair is so curly, so beautiful, that it really appears as if, you know, when the moon is surrounded by black clouds, how that will appear. Srimati Radharani's hair appears just like that. Very, very beautiful. And when her hair is tied up in different decorations, in different patterns, in different designs by Sudevi Sakhi, Srimati Radharani becomes extremely pleased and exquisitely beautiful. Because it is explained that the main ornament of a lady is her hair. So Sri Sudevi Gopi, she is very expert in decorating Srimati Radharani's hair in very different way. She does not repeat any hair form. She always does something new with Srimati Radharani's hair. So we all know with the hair pastime how when Sudevi Sakhi had plaited Srimati Radharani's hair and put it on top of her left shoulder, in the front, when Srila Rupa Goswami Pad, he had explained in his book that Srimati Radharani's hair, when it is in the front on her left side, that it appears like a black cobra snake. He had given that analogy in his book, that this is the analogy of Srimati Radharani's hair when it is in front of her shoulder, on her left shoulder. At that time, he had given his book to Srila Sanatan Goswami, because Sanatan Goswami is the elder brother of Rupa Goswami. And whenever Rupa Goswami would write something new, he would give it to Sanatan Goswami for editing, for any corrections. This is the humility of the Goswamis. They didn't have to do this, but Rupa Goswami, every time he would write something, he would always check it. And always ask his elder brother to edit it. So Sanatan Goswami Pad, he read this particular line about comparing Srimati Radharani's hair to a black cobra snake. And Sanatan Goswami, he looked at Rupa and he said, "My dear brother, everything you write is always so nice. But why? Why did you compare the most elegant of Srimati Radharani's hair to something as gross, as filthy, as a black cobra snake? Snakes are not something so nice to, compare it to Srimati Radharani." So Sanatan Goswami expressed his dislike and said, no, you should think of something else that you should compare Srimati Radharani's hair to, but not a snake. snake is something ew. Don't do that. So Rupa Goswami said, yes, my dear brother, you may be right. I must have, you know, committed an offense. So I will definitely, you know, see what else I can compare her hair to, and I'll write something. So then that day when Sanatan sat down to chant, at that time, the Sanatan Goswami had a vision. You know, when the brothers, when these six Goswamis, when they would chant, their chanting was at such a stage that their holy name, you know, Nama, was at such a stage of purification that the Rupa, Guna and the Leela of the Lord would automatically manifest in front of their eyes. They would not have to strive to participate in the pastimes of the Lord. So, Srila Sanatana Goswami, because of the purity of his holy name, he was actually able to envision the pastimes of Radha and Krishna every time that he chanted his japa. And that was the case even with Srila Rupa Goswami. So that particular day, Srila Sanatana Goswami was so happy. He was sitting under a tree. He had this vision that he is sitting under a tree. And in a far away place, he saw that, you know, Srimati Radharani is brought out, and she is, you know, a very beautiful swing of flowers was made by the Sakhis for Sri Radhe. And they brought her out, and the swing was, you know, made to hang down from one of the tall branches of a kadamba tree. Kadamba trees are very, very tall. So the Sakhis, they made the kadamba tree as the holder of the swing, one of the branches, and they hung down this very beautiful flower-ridden, flower-laid swing, and they made Sri Radhe sit on it. And they were swinging. You know, these girls, they were swinging the swing, and Radharani was enjoying the very beautiful, pleasant winds that was coming from the Jamuna, and she was nicely, all of them were, you know, just, you know, remembering the pastimes of Krishna, and all the Sakhis with Sri Radhe, they were all having a very nice swing pastime. And then suddenly, Srila Sanatana Goswami, this very beautiful vision, he became very anxious because he saw that on the shoulder of this girl, on the left side of this girl, there was a, you know, black cobra snake that was crawling up towards her face. And when he saw that, you know, he ran towards this girl, the Srimati Radharani, and said that, Radhe, Radhe, watch out. There is a snake that's going to come to bite you. Watch out, watch out. And nobody was noticing it, but Sanatana Goswami could see that this black cobra snake was coming up her lap and was about to bite on her neck. So when Sanatana Goswami reached near the swing, he could see that it was not the black cobra snake, but it was the beautiful, you know, plait of Srimati Radharani's hair. So when he saw that, his vision immediately broke, the pastime immediately disappeared from his vision, and he came in front of Srila Rupa Goswami, who was about to make that change in his book, because Sanatan told him to. And he said, Rupa, stop. Don't make this change. I saw it with my own eyes, that what you have written is the absolute truth. That Srimati Radharani's hair, when it is in the front, it really is like a black cobra snake. So that is why we don't actually, whenever we put Srimati Radharani's hair, if you notice many pictures of Sri Mayapur Dham, you'll see that Mayapur Radharani, she has her plait never in a straight pattern. It's always curved, just like how a snake is. So like this, so this service of decorating Srimati Radharani's hair is done by Srila Sudevi Gopi. So Sudevi Gopi very expertly dressed Srimati Radharani's hair with lots of pearls, you know, and she did a very nice hairdo on Srimati Radharani, and she put some fresh forest flowers all over her hair, so it was giving very beautiful aroma. And then Sudevi Sakhi also has a very important service of decorating Srimati Radharani's lotus feet with alta. Alta is the red dye, and she makes very beautiful designs, very intricate designs, just like how the ladies nowadays wear mehendi, henna. So like that, Sudevi Sakhi, she decorates Srimati Radharani's lotus feet with this red dye called alta, and she does very intricate designs on Sri Radhe's lotus feet. So these are two of the services that Sudevi Sakhi performs in connection to direct service to Srimati Radharani. So like this, an Induleka Sakhi, she is always, very expert in making jewelry for the divine couple. So all the jewelry that Srimati Radharani wears is very beautifully matched to perfection by Induleka Sakhi. And what garments Srimati Radharani will wear is decided by Lalita Sakhi. So like this, all the Sakhis, they come together and they decorate their Prana Priya Sakhi, Srimati Radha Thakurani, to go and meet with Krishna. So in this way, they decorated her this particular day, and they came to this particular spot, which is just on the outskirts of Barshana. They came to this place where Krishna had already decided that they will meet. So Krishna was sitting on the swing with some of his sakhas, some of his prana priya sakhas were there, like Sridham, Sudham, Madhu Mangal, they were there, the boys. So Radharani and the sakhis, they came, and the sakhis came and made Srimati Radharani sit next to her lord Shama Sundara. So both of them were sitting next to each other. And then suddenly, so on Krishna's side, the sakhas, they were fanning Krishna, and on Srimati Radharani's side, the sakhis were fanning Srimati Radharani. So like this, each of the sakhas and the sakhis, all of them, they were engaged in doing some service. So they were offering some nice drinks to each of them. They were offering nice condiments, nice, fresh fruits were offered to the divine couple. So like this was going on, this pastime was going on with all the sakhis and the sakhas and Krishna and Radharani. And then suddenly Sudama noticed that there was one bumblebee, because he was so intoxicated by the flowers that were strewn all over Srimati Radharani's hair, this bumblebee was getting very intoxicated. And this bumblebee was mistaking Srimati Radharani's lotus face to be like a white lotus. And it was coming in front of Radharani's face, and it was trying to almost bite Srimati Radharani. So Sudama Sakha got very worried that this bumblebee is going to now bite our dear Prana Sakhi. So no, I cannot allow this. So he took the chamara and he just, used it to drive this bumblebee away. As soon as he did that, the bumblebee went away because he was, driven away by the chamara. And as soon as the bumblebee went away, Sudama Sakha rejoiced in ecstasy. He said, "Oh, Madhu went away. Because a bumblebee is also called as Madhumakhi in Hindi. So, in a short form of Madhumakhi, Sudama said, "Just Madhu." He said, "Oh, Madhu went away. As soon as Srimati Radharani heard Madhu went away, she started crying profusely. She was almost about to become unconscious with her crying. Her crying just could not stop. And then the sakhas and the sakhis, they all got so worried. Krishna, who's sitting right next to Srimati Radharani, got so worried that why is Srimati crying so bitterly? Why is she crying? So then Lalita Sakhi came to Srimati Radharani and asked, "My dear Sakhi, why are you crying? Why are you crying?" And Radharani just held the right shoulder of Lalita Sakhi and said, "My Prananath has gone away. Madhu has gone away. How can I be happy if Madhu is gone? How can I have come here to just meet with Madhu and he has gone away. How can I keep my life together? That's why I'm crying." And Lalita Sakhi was so confused. Krishna was so confused. Everybody present over there was so confused. They said that, Lalita said, "Look, Krishna is sitting right next to you." Because one of Krishna's name is also Madhu. Because Krishna is so sweet, he is also called as Madhu. So Srimati Radharani, when Sudama Sakha said that Madhu went away, she mistook and thought that Krishna went away. Although Krishna is sitting right next to her, holding her hand, feeding fruits to her, feeding drinks to her, but Srimati Radharani thought that Krishna has gone away. So then Krishna held her lotus face in both of her both of his palms and said, "Sri Radhe, look over here. Look at me. I'm right here sitting next to you. I'm right here. I did not go." But Srimati Radharani was crying so profusely. You know, tears were just flowing incessantly from her lotus-like eyes. And seeing the tears falling from Srimati Radharani's lotus eyes, even Krishna started crying. So when Krishna started crying, Srimati Radharani was also crying. So because Krishna loves Srimati Radharani so much, he cannot see tears in her eyes. So even he started crying, and both of their tears were flowing so incessantly that it actually filled up the entire one kunda. It filled up a kunda, and it became known as Prem Sarovar. So till today, that Prem Sarovar is there, which is none other than the tears of love that were flowing from the eyes of the divine couple, Shri Radha and Shama Sundara. So Shama Sundara was still holding on with his lotus hands. He was holding on to the moon-like face of Srimati Radharani. And he was trying to console her, to make her stop crying. And Krishna said, "Radhe, please stop crying, please. I'm right here next to you. I did not go away. Look, please, look at me. Understand that I'm right here with you." And then Krishna just tightly embraced Srimati Radharani. And this is explained to be Prema Vaichitti. Prema Vaichitti means that the lover steals the heart of his beloved to such an extent that even when the lover is right next to the beloved thinks that he is not there. That is called Prema Vaichitti. So this is to what extent Sri Krishna had stolen the heart of Srimati Radharani. And this is to what extent Srimati Radharani loved Krishna. So there's nobody who can exhibit this kind of mood of Srimati Radharani, this intensity of love. Even though the beloved is right next to her, she thinks that he has gone away. And who can express such amazing, intense love in spite of the beloved sitting right next to her, that is called as Prema Vaichitti, which can be displayed only by Srimati Radharani. So therefore here, Bilva Mangala Thakura is only talking about Srimati Radharani, that how Krishna has stolen the heart of Srimati Radharani. Sri Radhikaya Ridayasya Chauram. The second line he explains, Navam Buddha Shama Shamala Kanti Chauram. Nava Ambuda. Ambuda means cloud. And Nava Ambuda means fresh rainwater cloud. And the fresh rainwater cloud is Also, we all know that it, you know, when a cloud is laden fresh with water, when it is about to rain, that kanti, that color of the cloud turns shamala, you know, like black, grayish black. So Krishna has stolen the kanti or the color of that fresh rain cloud also. And that he has assumed on himself. He has put that color on himself. Because it is explained that Krishna's color, the bodily complexion of Krishna, is beyond the, it's beyond, first of all, the Vibhgya range. You know, Vibhgya, we all know, violet, indigo, blue, you know, then I think gray, yellow, all these rainbow colors, you know, yellow, red, orange, all of these colors. So these Vibhgya range, you know, it classifies all the colors that fall inside the color category. And then there's ultraviolet rays, there's infrared rays. All of these colors are also there. But Krishna's complexion is so transcendental. It is beyond mundane. So there is no color that can actually be compared to the complexion of Krishna. Even Srimati Radharani, for that matter, we cannot say that Srimati Radharani's complexion is white. She's not just white. She's a combination of white, pinkish. When she is glorified by Krishna, when she comes in the presence of Krishna, she becomes red. So like this, Srimati Radharani's color cannot be also just be pinpointed or just boiled down to one color. Similarly, Krishna's color cannot be said that he is black in color, because Krishna is not black. Krishna is not blue. Krishna, so he's got this bluish black, you know, combination. When you combine blue and black together, so Srila Prabhupada explains that the nearest analogy that we can give to understand how Krishna's complexion looks like is when you see a fresh rain cloud. The fresh rain cloud is always having that very beautiful, you know, bluish-black kind of complexion. So that, when we see that cloud, we can always remember the complexion of Krishna's transcendental body. So Krishna has stolen this kanti, this color of the Navam Buddha Shyamala Kanti Chauram. That the Shyama Varna, Neeli Megha Shyama. So Krishna is this bluish black combination that can be very easily made out in a fresh rain cloud. You know, one time we were in Mayapur, and I remember one time my Shiksha Guru, His Grace Jananivas Prabhu, he had once told me that he always likes to go to the Ganges when, you know, especially in the summer, this time of the month, actually, this time of the year, in Mayapur, there's always, almost every evening, there is, you know, storm and, you know, nice rains come in. So it's very hot during the day, but in the evenings, you know, the rain comes and it just makes the entire atmosphere very cool and very beautiful. So one day, Jananivas Prabhu was explaining to us that how this is the exact mercy of Krishna, that how when we are struggling in this material world, the burning sun always scorches us down. But then Krishna so mercifully pours his rain-like mercy on us and cools everything down. So Jananivas Prabhu was laughing, and he was quoting from Srimad Bhagavatam when he was talking about this point. And he just said, you know, when it is about to rain, that is the best time to take bath in the Ganges. Because there's water coming from above, and you are yourself standing in the water. And it's really nice, you know, and especially in the summer, around 4 or 5 in the evening is when the storm generally hits, you know. So those of you who have this opportunity anytime, you know, try to go to Mayapur in the summer. It is going to be very austere, but it has a very pleasant experience. So, you know, he said that whenever it is about to rain, he said that me and Pankajangri, we always run to the Ganges because it's the best time to take bath, that you have Mother Ganges who you're standing on, you're, you know, immersed in the Ganges, and then there's liquid mercy flowing from the top also. So it's a very beautiful experience. And Jananivas Prabhu said one more thing, which I will never forget. He said that that is the best time to see what Krishna's complexion looks like. Because when you're bathing in the Ganges and you're looking up at the sky, you can actually see Neeli Megha Shyama. You can see the fresh rain cloud. And you can see the complexion of Krishna coming in that form. So one day I had this experience. So I always remembered this, that whenever it is about to rain, you know, I know the brothers would be there at the Ganges. So then one day I told this to my parents, and then we all actually went, you know, when it was about to rain. So we all, you know, all of us, you know, and some devotees also from Mayapur, we all went into the Ganges. And yes, both the brothers, you know, with some other devotees, they were also taking bath in the Ganges at that time, and we all went, and then it started pouring. It started raining so nicely. There was a little bit of sun, but it was raining also. And it was such a beautiful vision. And then Jananivas Prabhu himself pointed out to all of us, and he pointed out to that fresh rain cloud, and he said, this is the complexion of Krishna. This is the nearest and the closest analogy that Srila Prabhupada said is how Krishna's complexion is, Krishna's kanti is. So it was very beautiful experience. I'll never forget that vision, which we had the fortune of experiencing many, many times. And Jananivas Prabhu would point out and show to us that this is how Krishna's bodily complexion is. So it was very beautiful. So whenever I read Navambuddha Shyamala Kanti Chauram, I remember, you know, this particular vision from the Ganges, seeing a Navambuddha Shyamala, you know, a fresh rain cloud. And then the third line says, Pada Shritanam Cha Samasta Chauram, that anybody who takes shelter of Pada Ashrita. Pada means the lotus feet. Ashrita means Ashrayalena, means to take shelter. So anyone who takes shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, he always takes away. He just takes away all kinds of sins and all kinds of misdeeds, all kinds of negativity that has accumulated in that person's life. Krishna just absorbs, he just takes away all of that. Where can we find such a transcendental thief? Such a maha chor is impossible to find. You know, generally when we say chor or a thief in the mundane sense, it always brings about negativity, that a thief is condemned in the mundane planet. But with Krishna, in the supreme absolute sense, it absolute realm, in the spiritual context, worshipped. Because he is the one peels away all our negativity. He is famously known as, he is the one who johar lete hain, means the one who just snatches all our misdeeds, all our misgivings, all our previous sins, all our negativities. Not just, he just takes it away, but he even gives. And what is it that Krishna gives us? Krishna gives us, he helps us in transforming. So this process of Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada always says, is not a process of conversion. Srila Prabhupada said that this is a process of transformation. We transform our negativity into pure spiritual positivity. So our lust is transformed into pure love. Our anger is transformed into tolerance. Our vengeance, our you know, mood of taking revenge is transformed into forgiveness. Our greed into generosity. So like this, all of the negativity that is there in our heart, simply by taking shelter of, all of these are automatically, Krishna just absorbs all the negativity and he blesses us with pure positivity. That is the glory and the mercy of Krishna. That, you know, simply by performing a little bit of seva, this month especially, we all are very fortunate that not just in this month, but every day of the year, we are blessed with this opportunity. And Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And we chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every single day of the year. We are assured that Krishna will definitely take care of us, because Srila Prabhupada has assured, if we chant our rounds early, Krishna will surely take care of us. So being assured by Srila Prabhupada, by having faith in the words of Srila Prabhupada, we are doing our sadhana every single day of the year. Especially in this month, we should not only do it ourselves, but we should try to give this opportunity to others as much as we can. An opportunity to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, an opportunity to service, like offering a lamp, Krishna in this month. These are some activities, if we do, completely pleasing to Krishna. By doing these things, we are not only becoming, we are not only rendering our own services, but we are becoming extremely dear to Krishna. This is the way that in this month we can take, by explaining this mercy as much as possible, by distributing this mercy as much as possible to everyone. This we'll end here. If there's any questions, comments, or reflections, we can take. Thank you very much. Prabhupada ki jai. Now.
Hare Krishna Mataji, very nice class. Please accept the rumble of senses. I think the Prima Sarovar story I never knew, so it was very nice to hear from you. Thank you so much for detail, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, this is Damodaranand Das. Very nice. Last time I heard it before, but this time it was like dipped in honey. So sweet. So, Mataji, what is the spelling of Vajati, Prema Vajati that you mentioned? How do you spell it?
It's V-A-I-C-I-T-T-I, Vajati.
Oh, C, okay. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji, for a very nice class. You were telling Radharani came from the left side of Lord Krishna. Can you explain more, Mataji?
there's not much to explain in this. It's just that Srimati Radharani manifested from the left side of Krishna. That's why she's always standing on the left of Krishna. So that is how it is explained, her manifestation. You know, that how when Krishna is most happy, if you take that happiness out of Krishna, it manifests in the form of Srimati Radharani, and she appeared from the left of Krishna.
Okay, Mataji. So, is there anything from right also?
Well, from the right side, it's Lord Balaram.
Balaram. Yeah. Okay, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji. I request all of you to ask Mataji if you have any questions. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Your enthusiasm and your absorption is very, very contagious. Very wonderful. Still, I would like to make one observation.
Yes.
Because our spiritual master used to say that ours is a path of excellence. We keep excelling and excelling, excelling, and never feel that we have attained perfection. That is the mood of a devotee, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yes.
So many times, what happens? We hear different times, different pastimes of the Lord with different devotees and. Different, and sometimes they get little mixed up. Of course, the rasa is there, but there is also some kind of the mood which Sanatana Goswami and their relation with Rupa Goswami. You know, like in case of Vallabhacharya, you know that pastime. Vallabhacharya wanted to edit Rupa Goswami's. Things and that shloka which Rupa Goswami writes, what is that? In which he compares Bhukti Mukti Spriha Yavat Vishachi Siddhi Vartate Tavat Bhakti Sukha Shatra Katham Abhyudayo Bhavet. So when he read that, and he said, why are you comparing this Bhukti Mukti Spriha with the Pishachini, because in any transcendental literature, so Rupa Goswami, out of his great humility, he said, okay, you want to make a change? Then make a change. Then he went for a bath, and then we know that Jiva Goswami didn't like it, and then they discussed, and then Vallabhacharya came back, who is this person, Jiva? He said, oh, he's my nephew, and like this, and he's very, very special. Because you know that past time. So Jiva Goswami was engaged for editing or something like that. Although Rupa Goswami is fully transcendental, but out of their great humility, he would engage. He didn't claim that, I don't have, nobody can edit my work or anything. But in case of Sanatana Goswami relished, because Rupa Goswami is our Rasacharya. Anything he would write. So what happened? When Sanatana Goswami read this wonderful thing, then some doubt crept in his thought. He just read that and then he left, and he was in that little doubtful situation. He just saw that beautiful pastime, and then he realized what an elevated vision Rupa Goswami had. So that relationship between Rupa and Sanatana, because Sanatana Goswami always respected Rupa Goswami as in the rasa line. Rupa Goswami is the guru of even of Sanatana Goswami. Although Rupa Goswami considered Sanatana Goswami as his guru. So that modification I wanted to bring, Sanatana Goswami. Became blessed by that vision because he had that doubt in his mind. Oftentimes what happens that even when we like recite many shlokas and different things, that absorption is the main thing. Still when, because we are preachers, so when we preach, we want to give the best of us, isn't it? So like even in that shloka, which you so beautifully recite, all the shlokas you beautifully recite, but still, I want to point out that when you recite that, Narayanam Namaskritya, correct? So in that shloka, Namaskar is mentioned only once, but to all the personalities, like unto Narayanam, then Namaskritya, Namaskar to Narayanam, then Naram, Chaiva Narottamam, paying obeisances to everyone, but not to Namaskar itself. That's why it says, Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam and Devim Saraswatim Vyasam. So in that Devi, because you recited about wonderful path of Radharani, so Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Jiva Goswami, that Devi refers to Srimati Radharani in their commentary. That she is the that is loka in that Brihad Gautamiya, in which they describe the Radhika Paradevata. Devi Krishna Mai Prokta Radhika Paradevata Sarva Lakshmi Mai Sarva Kanti Sammohini Bara. So, Para means the Supreme Krishna. So, Radharani is so amazing that she enchants Sammohini even to the Supreme. And that is the beauty, and this Jivarashtakam, you are bringing out the best.
Thank you very much, Prabhu, for sharing and bringing these points. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Dhanavad Pranam. Beautiful narration, Mataji, so wonderful. If you have time, then can you sing the Jivarashtakam, please, couple of shloks?
Yes, Mataji, please.
Okay, sure. You want to hear the Jivarashtakam only?
Yes, Mataji.
Yes, Mataji.
Okay, all right, definitely. We'll just see if there's any more questions, otherwise we'll definitely sing.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. I have one question. So you mentioned about the nice blue clouds in Mayapur. What about the clouds that we see here in U.S.? Didn't they all see the same
clouds? Clouds are clouds everywhere. There are clouds everywhere. Well, the clouds that hover over the spiritual dhams, they are definitely special. But of course, when we see fresh rain cloud even over here, yes, we should remember Krishna. That is why, you know, even if you read the universal form, the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives so much analogies that the rivers are like the veins in his body, the mountains are like his thighs. You know, so when we see these things in front of our eyes, we should actually remember Krishna. That is the purpose. So Srila Prabhupada explains very beautifully in the purport that the reason why these analogies are given is that because our mind is not so pure that we can, you know, automatically remember Krishna all the time. At least I'm not in that stage. But when we read these things, then when we see such things in front of our eyes, then we can immediately make the connection. Oh, I read that Krishna, when we see a very beautiful river, you can say that, oh, Krishna says that, you know, he is, this is like a vein in Krishna's transcendental body. So like this, you make the connection. And, you know, that's what is the purpose of these analogies. So whenever, wherever we see a fresh rain cloud, yes, we must remember Krishna, of course.
And that is the actual color.
Sorry, Mataji, what is it? Prabhu, give me 1 minute, Prabhu, let Mataji complete. Yes, Mataji?
So that is the, I was looking for the exact color of Krishna, so if it is dark blue, right about to shower, that cloud is the color of Krishna. Is that right, Mataji?
That, again, that is not the color of Krishna. That is how Srila Prabhupada says it. This is exactly how Prabhupada words it. Srila Prabhupada says that that is the closest analogy that we can give to Krishna's complexion. That is the closest comparison, yes.
All right. Thank you so much. Hare
Thank
Krishna.
You. Prabhu, sorry, please go ahead. You had something to say?
Yes, Mother, have you happened to see the Tamala tree? Because the bark of the Tamala tree is also described.
Yes.
As, close to
Krishna's body. Yes, actually, yes. Not the bark, not just the bark, but the entire body of the Tamal tree is actually the personification of Krishna. It is explained because Tamal tree, the bark is like the complexion of Krishna. And if you touch the leaves of a Tamal tree, they're very soft, they're very velvety. And it is explained that if you touch a tree, a leaf of the Tamal tree, you, if you feel that softness is equivalent to Krishna's body. That's how soft Krishna's body feels. You know, if you touch a fresh tamal leaf, a small, tiny tamal leaf, it's got a very, very velvety touch. Those of you who've been to, of course, in Vrindavan, there are a lot of tamal trees, and they're really gigantic, they're really big. But if you want to really feel a leaf of the tamal tree, next time any of you go to Mayapur, in the courtyard where Garuda Dev is, you will see that in one of the circular things, there's a little circular kind of a compound made, and there is a tamal tree. So you can take pictures, you can feel the leaf, a fresh grown leaf. It feels velvety, just like Krishna's body. It's just actually diagonally opposite to Garuda Dev in that compound, at the entrance of Rav Madhava's temple. So you can see the tamal tree there.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Kala Chuda Mataji. Koti Koti Dandat Pranam to your Seva. Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai ho, Shri Prabhupada Shri Gurudev ki jai ho. How nicely, the same first time we hear again and again and again, but Mataji, we learn so many things from every time. Thank you very much for explaining Leela and taking all of us in Sridham Vrindavan. Hari Hari Bol, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev ki jai ho, Dandavat Pranam. Can you please sing Charastakam, Mataji?
Yes, yes, definitely, Jai. Yes, I will. As soon as the question answers are over, we will definitely sing.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Sorry for delaying the Charashtakam, but I just had one question. So you mentioned a beautiful pastime of Sri Radha and Krishna, and one thing that I couldn't fathom was the fact that how could Krishna leave them and go? Because Radha couldn't tolerate hearing that Madhava is gone, or Madhu is gone. So then how would she be able to bear the separation? Or does Radha not exist after that?
Oh, yes, she does exist. She does exist after that. Krishna does leave the Brajvasis and goes away. But again, just like how we were discussing in the Gopi Geet, that Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, actually. And we all know, but this is a, you know, like a seminar in itself, the question that you asked. But just to answer it very shortly, that Krishna actually never leaves Vrindavan. So even when he was leaving with Akrura, going to Mathura with Balaram, it is explained that Krishna, Balaram, Akrura was going to take bath, you know, at the borders of before entering Mathura. So at the Jamuna there, when he took bath, he saw that Krishna and Balaram were inside the Jamuna and they were also outside the Jamuna, you know, sitting on the chariot. So that was the explanation that is given that, okay, I'll tell it, but it might get more confusing. But again, as I said, this is a very deep subject matter that, you know, when Krishna appeared, you know, he appeared, we all know that Krishna appeared in Mathura to Mother Devaki and to Vasudev. Yes, he appeared in the four-handed form and then he manifested as the baby. Boy Krishna, and whom Vasudev took to Gokul to live in under the care of Nanda Baba and Jashoda Maya. And we all know that Jashoda Mata gave birth to Yogamaya, to a baby girl. But what we don't know, what is not so prevalently known, is one more fact that actually Mother Jashoda, she gave birth to twin babies that day. Or rather that night. She gave birth to a baby boy and to a baby girl. She had twins. And the baby boy is Krishna. So Krishna appeared in both places. He appeared as the son of Mother Jashoda. He also appeared as the son of Mother Devaki. So the one who appeared as Devaki, he is known as Vasudev Krishna. And the one who appeared as Mother Jashoda, he appeared as Vrajendra Nandan Krishna. Okay, then when Vasudev carried Krishna you know, Vasudev Krishna to Gokul, it was dark. Remember, nobody was awake. Everybody was asleep. So even Vasudev, he was in a trance. He didn't even know how he was, you know, coming and going like this. So Vasudev, what he did is, as soon as both the Krishnas saw each other, they actually became one. They, I don't want to use the word merged, but they became one. Both Vrajendranandan Krishna and Vasudev Krishna, they became one. The reason for this is explained is that Vrajendranandan Krishna, he is like the Goloka Vrindavan Krishna. He doesn't do any demon killing. He doesn't engage in any demon killing. The only thing that Krishna does, Vrajendranandan Krishna does, is that he only steals butter, he plays with his friends, he plays with his parents, he plays with his sakis. That's all he does. Nothing else. He doesn't do any other work of killing any demons. So when any demon would come, it would be the Vasudev Krishna who would kill the demons, okay, who were combined together in this form. So when it was time for Krishna to leave from Vrindavan, that was when they were taking bath, that was the time of the separation. So Vasudev Krishna went ahead with Akrura and Vrajendranandan Krishna stayed back in Vrindavan because Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. He started to stay, of course, in an unmanifest way. I mean, unmanifest in the sense that he is, you know, not visible to the eyes, but he experienced each and every emotion that the gopis were going through, and the gopis would sometimes feel that Krishna is there with them because Krishna indeed was there with them, you know. So this is a very, very, it's an esoteric subject matter. It's very confidential. It is very sweet. It's very nectarian. But at the same time, there are many reasons why Srimati Radharani had to be left, and she had to experience Vipralambha Seva, means service and separation, because that was like a, there are many, many reasons for this, but one of the main ones is that she wanted to experience, you know, the love in separation, service in separation, because it is more sweeter than Sambhoga. You know, Vipralambha is more sweeter than Sambhoga. Sambhoga means union, and Vipralambha means separation. So that was the setting of the mood for Krishna to come as Mahaprabhu also. That because Srimati Radharani, in separation from Krishna, she actually wore on saffron clothes, you know. She stopped decorating herself because who would she decorate herself for? So she started to stay like a renunciant, you know. She started, because saffron clothes are, the reason why saffron is worn is because it shows separation. It marks separation. It is the color that shows that you are feeling or missing someone when you are wearing those colors. So in separation, in loving separation from Krishna, Srimati Radharani would only wear saffron color. And when Uddhava went back, Krishna of course knew this, but when Uddhava went back, after meeting with the gopis and Radharani, when he went back and told Krishna that this is how Srimati Radharani is and this is what she is wearing, Krishna at that time made a promise to Srimati Radharani in her dream that he will also, in reciprocation to Srimati Radharani's mood of renunciation, he will also become a sannyasi. And he will also take on saffron robes and put on saffron robes to just reciprocate with the love that Srimati Radharani has for him. And that is the reason why Lord Chaitanya took sannyas. So these are all very, it's all very deeply connected. But I'm just giving you some highlights. I don't want to confuse you. I hope I have not confused you. But in a gist, this is what it is. I hope it helps in understanding some part of it.
Yes, Mataji, thank you so much. It is confusing. I have 100 other questions, but I think that can wait. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Mataji, thank you for bringing out this point. But still, one question comes to my mind. That when Uddhava, when Uddhavaji went back to Krishna, who was also feeling the separation of the gopis and Radharani. But where did he go? He went to Dwarka, correct?
Yes.
So, although it is said that Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, but we cannot say that Krishna cannot. In Laghu Bhagavatamitam, this is Kadakich ki Leela. It is general principle that Krishna does not leave Vrindavan. But in this Prakat Leela, Krishna also does. Prior means mostly he doesn't leave, but once in a while he leaves because Krishna is feeling separation of Krishna, not in Vrindavan. To Uddhava, he is discussing this in Dwarka. So it's a simultaneously Achintya Bheda Bheda. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Okay, it's almost 7:30. Should we end here if there's no more questions?
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Dhanat Pranam, all the worship to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much, Mataji, for the wonderful nectar. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Shama Gauri Mataji, for this opportunity to speak on a Thursday morning. Thank you. So, we'll just sing two verses of the Chaurashtakam as a service to all the Vaishnavis here and Vaishnavas here.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Jai Komodiki Mataji. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you, Mataji. So I'll just sing the first two verses of Sri Chauragra Ganya Purushashtakam. Braje prasiddham navanita choram gopanganam chadukula choram aneka janmar jita papa choram Chauragra Ganyam Purusham Namami Shri Radhikaya Hridayasya Chauram Navambudasha Malakanti Chauram Padashritanam Chasamasta Chauram Chauragra Ganyam Purusham Namami. Jai Shila Bilba Mangal Thakur ki Jai Shila Prabhupada ki Jai Iskon Vartaman Guru Rind ki Jai Ananda Kala ki Jai.
Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you very much, Mataji.